We're going to start a new series called Faces of Faith, okay? Or Masks of Faith. I'm just kidding, okay? But Faces of Faith is going to be based on Hebrews 11, and all of you kind of know that particular chapter. I will explain that a little bit. But I think it's important for you to begin with what's behind my thoughts as we talk about this series. So, endemic, we were very intentional to create at least three different series that we wanted to help people to grapple with this thing called life a bit better. So we started off with margin. Margin was created to help all of us to create space, to create time, to create finance that you will invest into relationship. And that's what margin is all about. Margin was a series to help all of us, instead of wanting for a businessman and you want to jump into as much business as possible, instead of looking for opportunities and jumping. And I think those come along our way, but we want to remind everybody that you create space and time for relationship. And then right after that, we did a series called Worth Living, which is based on a 5-week series based on the 5 chapters of 1 Thessalonians. And in that little series that we did was trying to help all of us to think, how does a life worth living for God looks like? How are we going to be able to live a life that when God look at us, He is pleased with us? So we talk about suffering, how to respond with that. We talk about righteousness, how does that look like? So especially in the Thessalonica church, kind of had a little bit of our sentiment of our day, because they had massive persecution and there were rumors about Christ going to come back again. And so all kinds of responses. So we kind of talk a little bit about that. And so today, we're going to begin a new series called Faces of Faith. Because if there is anything that potentially shake us during pandemic, is this little word called faith. And sometimes it shakes us a lot also is because the way all this while, especially you and I, who somewhat came from a very Pentecostal, a little bit of charismatic background, has a way to look at faith. So we tend to look at faith as something like a tool for you to get something. We tend to look at it like that. We tend to look at Hebrews 11 and say, by faith, he gotten that. And therefore, all of us, the more faith I have, I'm able to get a better car. I'm able to get a better job. So when we go on that route, we tend to end up very disappointed when we don't get the things that we anticipated. Which is why, even for those who prayed for Malaysia, you will know that prior before election, lots of people will come. When the result is not the one that we imagine, we get discouraged and we gave up doing that, because we use faith like a tool. So we say it very loud, we say it very fast, we confess it often, because we think that we can create an environment of faith so that we are able to get something that we do not get now. I think there is a place for that in the Bible, but that is not what faith is all about. And sometimes we ended up having faith in faith more than having faith in God. Are you with me? Because we are trying to churn out this thing called faith. We try to memorize as much scripture so that we can churn out environment of faith so that we can get something. So today, as we talk about faces of faith, based on Hebrews, I'm going to help you to navigate through potentially a wider perspective about faith. And I think it was the 4th week of this series, we're going to talk about a lot of people who did not get what they want. But the Bible says they are full of faith. And we're going to wrestle through that in this series. And my whole goal at the end of the day is to help us to navigate life through faith. You know, every time, I think whenever I get an opportunity to talk to people, and especially people come and present their challenges and all of that, I tend to try to get 3 pieces of information, all right? This is like an inside scoop for you. First of all, I wanted to know, how does a person feel? So a person comes and say that, you know what? My mom, dad just say that they really hated me. So first of all, I try to get, what's your feeling? How do you feel about it? Number 2, I try to get, what's the facts? I'm trying to understand the whole thing, how it all came about. When did this happen? Was it the first time they said that to you, or throughout your year? Or did you say something that caused them to react? You know, I'm trying to understand, did they say the same thing to the brother? And you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to gather all the facts. So first of all, I try to know how he feels. Then I try to understand the facts, And my final step is always trying to understand his faith. I'm trying to understand, in the midst of that environment or that situation the person is going through, how does faith help him to navigate? So sometimes people has absolutely a meltdown of faith. Some people during pandemic has really a meltdown of faith. Some people would say that, you know, Pastor, believe in God or not, actually it doesn't really matter. Because if you get COVID, you die. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole, but it really way bigger than that. So as we talk about faces of faith, we really want to help all of us to put a couple of muscles and substance to this thought called faith. All right? Now, so in this series, we are going to work through faith to trust, and we are going to use a particular example in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, before I jump into Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11 begins after Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, that's where you get 10. Okay, I'm just kidding, okay, all the lame joke. So Hebrews chapter 10 was very interesting because Hebrews chapter 10, especially last few verses, was almost like a hinge before you open to Hebrews 11. It connects the dot as you open that door to understand Hebrews 11. Hebrews 1 to 10 was a whole chunk of 10 chapters where the author, and it was very interesting because he wasn't writing to a particular church. He wasn't writing to Thessalonica, Colossae, Ephesus, you know. So he wasn't trying to address, he was trying to download a very important truth of, because of what Christ has done, he says, we are entering into what he called a better covenant. Everything was better, 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 okay? So as he went on to explain all of that, he compares who Jesus is, who Moses is, who angels is, and he was trying to bring us to the peak of understanding that because of Christ, you can fully trust in him. So which is why the last few verses of chapter 10, he talks about, he says, you do not shrink back, all right? And then in verse, and I think just two verses before end, he says, for yet in a little while, he says, I will come again. The I will come again means Christ. So as the Bible depicts, he says, for Christ coming and before he comes, he says, the way you and I needed to live our faith, needed to live our life, navigate whatever season, is this thing called faith. He says, that is what helps you and I to navigate through every scenario that we face in life. This little thing called faith. So faith is very important. So as he explained that, then he says that we don't shrink back from our faith. We are those who believe. And then he tells us all the men and women of God in Hebrews 11 that live their life by faith. So we live in what we call the already but not yet scenario. This is where we are. We already got saved. We already get saved. Christ comes to us. I got salvation, but not yet, not completed. We actually already have our healing when Christ died on the cross, but not yet. We don't see it now. Some of us still struggle, but the day will come, we'll be perfect. The day will come. So we live in this tension, which is very difficult because some of us, we want it now. So we cannot detect that, and I don't even know how. But I know we live in that tension. So in that tension, he says that what helps us to navigate is this little thing called faith. Now, with that, I introduce to you the way the Bible defines faith. So first of all, he says, now faith, which you read together, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it, the people of old received their commendation. So the Bible was very clear, okay? So he was, now we open the door, we step into this thing called faith. So what welcomes and invites us was really the Bible definition of faith. So it says faith, actually it's not a definition, it's more like an explanation, okay? He says faith is the assurance, or some version says it is really the substance of things hoped for, or some version even says it's really the conviction of things, and then they use another word for the other one. But basically, he was trying to help us to understand. The best way to understand faith is to understand that, you know, all of us hope for something, correct? All of us hope for something. So, for example, some of you are hoping to get a new car. Some of you hoping to get a wife. I know a few of you are. Maybe I should name them. No, I'm just kidding, okay? Just to make everybody's life easier. You know, this is so-and-so, you know, looking for one and just... Okay, anyway, all of us, right? So, some of us, we hope to get a raise. Some of us hope to get a new job, all right? So somewhere, he says, what is faith? Faith is the assurance, the things that you hope for. So faith helps us to understand the things that you're hoping, hope so, now it becomes so. Correct? Okay, so that's what faith is all about. Okay, so he says faith is something that you're hoping, but now you no longer hope because it is so. Right? First of all, he explained, that's faith. All right, let me move on. He says, then it's the conviction of things not seen. You know, we live our life by everything that we see. Correct? So, for example, if I see a car, I'll tell you I saw a car. So it says faith is the same thing. What you see in the natural is what faith sees in the supernatural. It's the same thing. That means you can see it through the eyes of faith. So he uses these two little things to help us understand faith. Now, what's the difference, okay? So how do I move from hope so to be so? How do I move on, right? So the way you move from that to that is really what we call the promise. So for example, you were hoping to get a wife. And one day the girl come and say, I will marry you. Yes, I will. Now your hope so now become a be so. Am I correct? You move from hope so. Why? Because there is a promise that connects the dot. So for example, I hope to get a raise. And I go back to my wife and say, I hope to get a raise. 3 weeks later, I met my boss. My boss said, hey, you know what, Tim? I'll give you a raise by end month. Now, when I go back to my wife, I won't say I hope to get a raise. Now, I'm going to get a raise. Why? Because there was a promise that connect the hope so to a be so. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say? That's the way the Bible functions. The promises of God that was given to us throughout. And then he went on to tell the different example. For example, he talked about Hebrews 4. He says, by faith, Abel. He gave you the first example, which Abel was like the first introduction of faith. And all he needed to do was to worship God the right way. That's all. And the Bible says that Abel, you're more righteous than Cain because Cain worshiped with plants, durian. He worshiped with lambs and, you know, and God really liked that, okay? And because God told the people, he says, do this. That's the promise of God. By faith, Enoch actually just walked with God. He didn't even do anything amazing. The Bible says he just faithfully walked with God. And God says that that's what he did. So he was trying to help us to understand all the different shades of faith because faith is not something that you work for it so you can get. No, he says, no, faith is just obeying God. Faith is doing what he says, trusting in him. Faith is just a walk with God, your devotion with God. He says, all these are faith. Then, before he went to Abraham and others, gosh, time runs so fast, okay? He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And this is the goal of our series. He says, our goal is this, okay? Without faith, it's impossible for whoever would, I mean, he says the word draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So Bible tells us faith is never passive. Faith is always a verb. So no matter what state you are in, part of the expression of faith, and that's why we hope this series will help to move everybody to these three little things. You will draw near. Looks differently to different one, but you will learn how to draw near. Devotion is a way to draw near. Learning to come for a prayer meeting, it's a way to draw near. Going to a live group, allow people to pray for you, it's a way for you to draw near. Open up your heart and say, I need prayer, that's a way to draw near. Reading the Bible and trying to look at this and say, God, let me learn how to, that's drawing near. So faith is actually a verb. It's full of action. It is not, okay, let me just wait, Lord, God say. No, it is not like that. And I hope we help everybody every week that say, I'm going to draw nearer to God. I don't know what's going to happen. Some people say that, you know, you got COVID, now you got monkeypox, then you got, you know, so many pox coming. And am I draw near. Let's start by drawing near to God. And believe, not only believe that he exists, that means he's real, but he will always reward those who Sikkim, again, Sikkim looks differently to different people. But faith is a verb. All right, let me just move to Abraham, which is what we wanted to cover. Abraham displayed someone that trusted God in the midst of uncertainty. If there is anything that grips our heart post-pandemic or during pandemic, it's really the word uncertainty. If you're a businessman, potentially you have never met any uncertain moment like COVID season. If you're a single, I mean, single had a lot of uncertainty. I met so many singles that, Pastor, 2 years, you know. Pastor, honestly, how to date? You come out outdated already. I'm just kidding, okay? Some of them who moved to a different age, Pastor, how to date, right? You know, so anyway. So that's why you got all the, what, coffee, bagel, you know, all this. Okay, never mind, okay? But all the singles people know, right? But my point is, regardless. So if you, we got 4 children at different stages of their life, right? And they all have their own packages of uncertainty. And my daughter, 14-year-old, she has more online friends than face-to-face friends. She has friends everywhere. Every time she says, "Dad, that's a friend from US." Oh, okay. "Dad, that's a friend from this. That's a friend from that." And then she'll come and say, "Dad, you know, that one got problem, you know, with sexual, you know, what should I do?" I'm saying, like, what, 14 years old? You know what I'm saying? And so everybody faced their own uncertainty. Quick 3 thoughts. Uncertainty includes everyone, no matter how old, how young. If you're a mom, you have your own packages of uncertainty. What am I going to do with my kids? You know, cannot rest. And what are they going to do? They're online all the time. How should I do it? How much time? You know, and we also deal with that, okay? And then it increases stress and anxiety, right? So if you have bigger production, bigger business, your stress is going to be way bigger than that. And ultimately, I think uncertainty is a battle, is a metal, and it's a battle of trust. Uncertainty is learning to, so this is how we think, okay? We think that the antidote for uncertainty is to be certain. So we try to look for things that can help us to be certain. Why? Because we want to be in control. But how many of you know that life, there's so many things you cannot control? You just can't. So at some point, you need to put your trust on some certainty that is way bigger than life offers. And I want to suggest that you must learn how to put that trust really upon God. And that is the story of Abraham. All right, now, let me just read a little bit about Abraham, and then I'll give you 3 handles. How did Abraham trust God in the midst of uncertainty, based on the Bible? All right, so first of all, the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Okay, now, so if you know and read the story of Abraham, Abraham was in Chaldee, which is Babylonian, Persia, you know, somewhere around that side. More Persian side, sorry. Anyway, he was there. Now, so if you know and understand, when God called Abraham, Abraham was 75 years old. And Abraham had his own religious thinking because he comes from a very paganistic culture, okay? So he has his own concept of God. He has his own family. He has his own culture. He has everything. So the Bible says when God called him, I call this the most uncertain, because if you were to stack out the amount of uncertainty for Abraham, he has the largest scale because he had so many things that was uncertain. And the best thing was God called him to go to a place that he does not know where. And that was most difficult. You know, it's one thing if God calls and say, "Okay, I want you to go to Chicago." Oh, yes. You know, that's clear, right? But if God says, "I want you to go, but I'll tell you somewhere as you go." But the Bible depicts very clearly, God did not have to negotiate with Abraham, which is why the Bible eventually called him the father of faith, because he just went, he just obeyed God. I mean, imagine the conversation, pillow talk with the wife before he traveled. He has to tell the wife, "You know, we're going to migrate, move house." "Oh, where are we going?" "It's a surprise for me to know." Actually, for me, I also don't know, right? For you to find out. You know, I mean, he's trying to use every interesting way to tell the wife. Now, so if you study the life of Abraham, the first place that he ended up was actually Haran, which is further away from the promised land. It kind of tells you that he actually doesn't know where to go. And it was in Haran for 5 years that God eventually revealed the route to the promised land. But I want you to know that if there's anything that looks like uncertainty, it's really the life of Abraham, not knowing where. He has to move away from not only the culture, the food that he's familiar with, which is why for us Chinese, very hard to move away. The durian and all that. Okay, anyway. And then he says, then the Bible says he went out not knowing where he was going, just as I explained. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob as with him of the same promise. Now, so if you understand the history of Abraham, it took him almost 40 or 45 years, if I'm not mistaken, before he landed at the spot of having Isaac. So almost 40 to 50 years, if I'm not mistaken. So which means that he came eventually to the promised land, which was a land that God promised to him. But did you know, he only owned the burial plot for him and his wife. He did not get to see the promises that God gave to him. He did not get to really see until way later. And that is always an element of faith. The trust that we put in God, even though we don't, it's the already but not yet. It's the already, but yeah. God said he'll give, but not yet. You know, it's living that. It's having that faith. Okay? Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. I think he'd gotten Isaac at about 50 years old. 125, I think. Okay? Then the Bible says, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. Now, I want to give you three handles, and then I'll end with a couple of stories, and hopefully it helps and inspire all of us. How did Abraham trust God? I want to give you three thoughts. And these three thoughts, I hope, will be the thoughts that you go back to your live group this week and you talk about it. In fact, the homework, that small group that you need to go, and I want you to know that you really, really need to go. Some of you think that I don't need to go. I want you to know, on the contrary, you need to go. Some of you say, I'm too busy not to go. You are too busy. You need to go, okay? All right? And in your life group, I hope that you will talk about the uncertainty that you're going through right now. And you relook your uncertainty by answering three questions. How can I better obey God? How can I stay active, not idle? And how can I grow myself in consistently looking towards God? All right, now, so this is what Abraham did. This is how Abraham trusted God. Number one, the Bible said he obeyed. All right, you know, many of us fight over, did God call me to be a businessman? Did God call me to be a barber? Did God call me to be a chef? Did God call me, right? We tend to fight over that. And some of us can live a very loose life. Immoral, sleep around, and all of that. And we want to know what's the will of God, right? The Bible always says, obedience begins with what the Bible says. The Bible says it's the will of God that keep us pure. Then do that. That's obedient unto God. So the first thing that you want to do, you try to stay as much as possible, always. Now, I know we are imperfect. We will fall. But in that whole imperfection, you want to find ways and space that you will honor God in a greater manner. The way you do your business, the way you choose to live your life, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your parents, the way you treat your children. I mean, the whole smack of it. Your character, you know, some of all these things, right? You want, and the more you are, I think it brings you closer to what God has for us. And that's just how I think. So this is a perfect story. It was told by Pastor Joseph this morning. And we were having our pastoral devotion the other day, and Pastor Joseph shared this brilliant story. So Pastor Joseph does aircon. And he recently bidded for a job. It's just a very big job for one of the richest men in this nation. And when it comes to the date of submission, he submitted the document. The project manager then tell Pastor Joseph, he says, okay, this is your last submission, okay? After that, no more submission. He said, yes. And as he took the submission, he looked at Pastor Joseph, he says that, how many percent can I get? At that moment, Pastor Joseph, which I know him very well, because he has kids in overseas and it's a sizable project, and he thought to himself that, you know, maybe I could have just given, and you know, but obviously he obeyed God. He obeyed God. So he looked at this person, he says, I apologize. You know, I don't do things as such, so he just basically said no. And then the man then said that, hey, you know what, we are looking for a contractor that has no kickback. So I still remember Pastor Joseph then gave me a call and said, hey, you know, I had this, you know. Then we kind of laughing and say that, I wonder if this man was quick to change his strategy. That was just his way of trying to look good, right? I've been a corporate world, dealt with so much cases like that, so I knew the amateur style of doing it. I knew the professionalist style, of depending on how experienced someone is, okay? So we don't know, but truth to be told, 2 months later, when it was awarded, he gets the job. He gets the job. And you think about it. You think about, he honored God. He made that decision on that day. I'm saying no to this. And it turns out to be, they were really looking for someone that's willing to stand by righteousness, and God honors him. So, does he have his own season of uncertainty? Obviously he has. He's thinking about how is he going to settle the daughter's education. He had all of that. But the first thing was he obeyed. I'm going to say this. If you struggle with this, get help. Get help. Talk to people. Have a different perspective. And you will never lose every time you choose to honor God. Right? Secondly, he was active. He wasn't idle. So the Bible never says that he went, he go about, move from 10 to 10, this promised land, and you know, he just consistently go. So sometimes when you are in moment of uncertainty, you don't just wait, you move, you try, and you never know in the midst. And this is where I want to tell you the story of one of our church brothers, Wilson, you know. And I did not put his face simply because when I was preparing this for the PowerPoint, I just had so much load for this weekend. So I wasn't sure which particular story that I wanted to derive. But Wilson is somewhere. Wilson and Corinne, some of you would know him. Wilson got saved in 2019. And 2020 had a challenge in his job and basically cut a long story short. By the way, is that Wilson? Wilson, is that you sitting there? That's right, Wilson. Yeah, that's Wilson, okay? Good looking, with and without mask. Okay, and 2020 had a challenge, and long story short, he needed to exit from a business partnership that he's in. And 2021, which is last year, he was officially jobless. And that was in the month of, I think, February, March, and he was trying to think what to do. You know, we met up a couple of times, talk, and he met up with Hao Chun, some of our business people, and just trying to gain a perspective. While he was trying to navigate what's possible, he wasn't idle, he was trying. So some of you would remember he did the famous Siuyo. How many of you ever gotten Siuyo from Wilson? Okay, the famous Siuyo, okay, the one that's very crispy, you know, he did that business. So he was just trying everything. Somewhere in that journey, because he loved kids and he's good with kids, and then Joisha, which is one of our, you know, members from Damansara, the 10X CEO, talked to him and trying to explore this thing called 10X CEO Kids, which is taking whatever for and then try to impart it to the kids and maybe help kids to be more entrepreneur. Brilliant idea, brilliant concept, but not too sure how much it's going to work because kids have so many things, right? Kids have swimming class, arts class, dance class, ballet class, what else? What class? Just everybody's just a class above. Then the other kids, because everybody had so many classes, like English class, you know, Japanese class, and oh my goodness, you got just so many classes, right? So how does this smack into another class? So they were trying to navigate this and try to, long story short, for about 6 months, he just navigate himself and really was struggling because there was just no clear direction. Very minimal income beside the suyo, which most of the time he blessed more than he earns, I think. And then I asked Wilson, and I said, when was the peak of your uncertainty? He says that, you know, Pastor, there were so many times I felt so useless because I couldn't earn, I couldn't take the income for my kids, for my family, for my wife. And at the peak of it was one day when he was doing the seal yoke, and after all that he did, and it didn't come out the way that he wanted it to be. You know, the seal yoke wasn't cooperating. It was a different brand of pork, I think, or whatever it is, okay, and he was so distraught, you know, and then he has to call people and say sorry, and then some customer will get angry, you know, all of that, and then when he talked to one of his friends, which is in engineering, that's why he told me he broke down, he cried. He was telling the friend that this is really, really difficult. Now, that was his package of uncertainty, but what I like about Wilson was in the midst of all this unknown, he did his best to obey God. He looked to God always. And there were so many. He talked about how Corinne, the wife, was one of the biggest voices to cheer him out. Talk about the pillow talk that they had. He has to share his heart out. Talk about Bikim who prayed for him. Talk about the conversation he had with me. Talk about the different conversations with Hao Chun, Joisha, all the different people. But the turning point comes something like this. While he was doing all of that, then it was Joisha who told him that, hey, actually I realize you are trying to do this concept, but actually you don't know the content very well. Why don't you join our 10X CEO coaches? Just join our meeting. So 2021, he joined the meeting, which is end of 2021, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere towards October, you know, where he joined. And by end of 2021, he gotten his first client. And today he has 6 clients. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? So it is that uncertainty, but you try, you try. I always tell people, you must try, right? Try something, and you never know. In the midst of trying something, you meet someone, you had a conversation, you had a perspective change, you had a chat and something, then you moved on because he was active and not idle. The worst is you say you trust God, but you sit at home and watch Netflix and play Dota or whatever. That's the worst. Because God doesn't speak through Dota. It's next to Dosa. I'm just kidding, okay? Anyway, all right. And finally, he looked to God. He looked to God. That's what Abraham did. He just consider put his trust in God, never stay idle, then keep on obeying. Lord, let me honor you with this. Let me cut this off. Let me trust in you. Just consistently doing that. And eventually God led him to be where he are. I think just to help to understand that looking to God part was really a conversation I had with Hao Chun. Again, I did not put a picture there, but Hao Chun is a big businessman. So big businessman comes with big stress, big problem, comes with all of that. I still remember meeting up with him during pandemic. He was just detailing to me, Pastor, each month, this amount of millions were lost. And I'm not talking about small money, right? You're talking about 1,000 over employees. You've got so much things that you have to wrestle with. And obviously, him being a super positive kind of a guy, was very much shaken as well. He talked about sleepless nights, talked about wanting to recharge, how to bring digitization, change the business model. But in the midst of maneuvering all of that and the amount of pressure of things, and I think the peak of uncertainty potentially comes with that it affects his health so much that one particular night, I think the heart was beating so high that he honestly thought that he could not make it through that particular night. He was telling me the story of how he knelt down, repented and said, God, save me, you know, and all of that. I mean, that was just how real when a person have to go through what they have to go through. Turns out to be there's a little bit of a medical condition, you know, but that was settled, you know, but that was just to help you to understand the meltdown and the peak of pressure that all of us go through. And I still remember one of the conversation that we had was the first thing that helped him to come back was reboot the devotion to God. It was as simple as that. So he says, every morning, I just take my time to read the Bible. Just simplicity. Go back, looking to God. Just come back to. And somewhere in that journey, when you started to do so, God will God will lead you to it. He will put a different perspective. He will bring in different people, just learning how to be with God. And now, because of all that's happened, he is in a way better place, and he will always smile and look back. He says, 2 years ago, I thought I lost everything. But now, look at the amount of doors that God has opened for us. Now, I'm not trying to say that that will be how all of us ended up to be. But I'm trying to say that whenever you obey God, whenever you do not stay idle, whenever you learn how to look to God, that is when you get to see the things that God has in store for each and every one of us. Just a simple little, the antidote for uncertainty is not certainty, but a living trust in God. Faith looks like this to Abraham. Full of uncertainty, he took the step of faith, obeyed God. He did not stay idle, and he kept on looking at God. Now, I want to say this. If you study the life of Abraham, he had many moments he doubted God. He questioned God. You give me a promised son. He says, I'm so embarrassed to go out, and because you said I'm going to have a son. And his name was changed from Abraham to Abraham, which means a father of many. So what's your name? A father of many. Kwa boy, you know what I'm saying? Like, where's the father of many? Many what? Ah, many, many, many dreams. Ah, you know what I mean? People were laughing and joking. I mean, he has to endure all of that, right? He has this moment. And that's just how human we are. So we are not looking for perfection, but we are looking for a relationship with God that will anchor you to go through. Remember, we are in a already but not yet. Faith is what helps us to navigate our life, not just post-pandemic. It's pre another endemic. It's pre another challenges that will come. I don't know. And you may have many poxuses that's going to come along our way. And we will be. But faith is what put our trust in God. Obey God. Never say idle. And always looking to God. Can I go to amen? Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? All right? Let's just commit this time before God. Then we'll jump into dialogue just a little bit today. But I want to spend some time in the presence of God. So this weekend, this week, when you go to a small group, I want you to take your uncertainty out again. And I want you to ask yourself three questions. How can I better obey God? How can I not stay idle? How can I strengthen my looking to God? Some of you need to redo your devotion. Some of you need to talk to a leader and say, you know, I don't know how to trust God anymore. Could you help me? I don't know. But you need to redo that and re-tackle your uncertainty with some simple handles that the life of Abraham showed us. All right, let's pray. You know, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And I know in our midst there are people who you do not know God, or you think you sort of know God, but you are not sure. Doesn't matter, but I want to invite you that you pray a prayer where you want to take a bigger bite in trusting God. That's what I'm asking for. So I hope many of you will just pray that prayer and just surrender your life to God and build that trust. Okay, so just follow that. So say, dear God, thank you for today. I learned about trust. For Abraham, it means to obey, not stay idle, and strengthen looking to God. Today, I want to be as such, trusting you more and more. So I take my uncertain situation, I lift it before you. Hold my hand, lead me, guide me, speak to me, invade my world. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I'm so grateful that we can come before you. God, I know that different one of us, we have different spot in our life right now that really needed your guidance. And I don't claim that any one of us have any answer. Most of the time we don't. But most of the time, you do. And we know that you're always interested in our hearts more than the things that we do. So I pray that you will use every uncertain moment to show yourself stronger, merciful, greater, and you will connect our hearts to who you are. So we are grateful to you because we have God, the one that loves us, leads us, and guides us. Lord, we bless everybody. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.